Good morning, everyone. My name is Yan Hoi. I'm from Douglas University. Today, I'm going to talk about our work on software throttling on GPUs. So sparse metrics have been used a lot in many different applications. For example, we have sparse linear systems and we've got different solvers. And also physics-based simulations like CFD. Recently, some deep learning optimization works that try to prune the neural networks also use sparse matrix as input. So in this work, we focused on the kind of sparse matrix operation that can be represented as y equals to ax. Well, a is a sparse matrix, x is the input vector, and y is the output vector. And there is a binary operation between being applied on the matrix and input vector x. And the result of the binary operation will be reduced to the output vector y. Let's see some real-world examples of these kind of operations. So a widely used application is SPMV. In this case, the reduce operation is summation, and the binary operator is multiplication. So which means if we want to get the value at y3 in the output vector, we will need a31 and a33 and times x1 and x3. Another application is single source shortest pass. In this case, the reduce operation will be minimum and the binary operator will be addition. So now the vector y is the distance vector of j's iteration, and x will represent the distance vector of y of j minus one's iteration. So for this example, if we want to update node 5's distance at j's iteration, we need A35 and A45 from the adjacent matrix, and then add their previous distance at x3 and x4, and then use the minimum to update node 5's distance in the current distance vector. However, due to the sparsity of the matrix, low data reuse for these kind of operations is always a big problem. For example, in SPMV, since the input vector and the output vector can be used a lot, and they're usually too large to fit into GPU's cache. So the sparsity of the matrix may cause irregular access of the vector, and this means low data reuse in the cache. So people have worked a lot on improving the data reuse for sparse matrix operations on GPUs. There are mainly two categories for this kind of work. The first is warp scheduling policies. There are works that limits the number of working threads and also, for example, control the number of thread blocks to achieve better data reuse. Another category is computation and data layout transformation. People try to reorder the data or their computation to reduce irregular memory access. However, for warp scheduling policies, existing work all need hardware modification, and for computation and data layout transformation work, they all only focused on spatial data reuse. So we proposed a software throttling framework for GPUs. That is the first software throttling implementation, and we focused on temporal data reuse, and we also explored the trade-off between throttling performance and GPU throughput. So before I talk about the technical part about our work, let's see an example of what is software throttling and how it helps the data reuse. Still, we use sparse matrix multiplication, vector multiplication. And here we only focus on the input and output vector since they can be used a lot. For the given matrix, I list all the computation it needs from x1, y1 to x4, y4. So both these are running at one time. And let's say the cache size is 4. For this given example, the cache cannot contain all the data items in the execution list, which will definitely cause cache contention and somehow may result in low data reuse in the cache. So what if we use throttling? For this example, our framework will first divide the execution list into two different phases. And here, throttling will make sure that tasks in the first phase being finished before those tasks in the second phase to achieve a better temporal locality. For the first phase, now we only have four unique data items, X1, Y1, X3, Y3. All the data can fit into the cache, so there will be no cache capacity miss. Same for phase two, since now all tasks in phase one are finished, so we only have X2, Y1, X4, Y4 in the cache, and there are also no cache capacity miss. This means for the whole competition, there will be no cache capacity miss, all the data can fit into the cache, and this will help the cache performance. So what we need for software filtering? As we see in the previous example, we need to divide the execution list into different phases. So we need an effective partition algorithm, which can make sure all data items in one partition can fit into the cache. And also the interaction between different partitions are minimized. The interaction here means those data are reused by different partitions. So we want to minimize this kind of data. Also we need applicable scheduling methods, because in practice, we need to handle the trade-off between filtering performance and GPU throughput. I will show you why we need to consider this trade-off later. So let's first look at the partitioning algorithm. Sparse matrix operation usually can be represented as a graph. Here we use graph age partition model, which places an emphasis on data. We say each data item in the input and output vector is a vertex, and each age will represent the competition that using these two data. So why we choose age partition model? In previous work, people find out that balanced vertex partition performs poorly on natural graphs that had a power law. That had a power law degree distribution. This is because balanced vertex partition sometimes not equal to balanced workload. So age partitioning model can quantify the communication cost better, and also it can be applied to a large class of parallel applications. Most existing works on graph age partitioning model is for load balanced partition. For example, in each partition, we have three ages, which means their competition are balanced. But in this work, we want to balance the number of the data in each partition. For example, in each partition, we have four nodes, which means there are four data in each partition and they are balanced. In our work, we call those data balanced partition a cache fit partition, because we want to make sure all the data in the partition can fit into the cache. So to get cache fit partitions, we use the idea of recursive bisection framework. For each bisection, it's a two-way load-balanced age partitioning framework called SPAC, and it will give us load-balanced age partitions with minimum interaction. And we will perform bisection recursively on those partitions that cannot fit into the cache, and we'll keep bisecting until all the partitions are cache-fit partitions. So let's still use the example to see how the data-balanced partitioning framework works. This is a given graph, and we say the cache capacity is 4. So the first bisection will divide the original graph into two partitions. In each partition, there are four data items and can fit into the cache. So it's a cache feed. So for partition A, there are four data items. So partition A is a cache feed partition, so we won't bisect again. And for partition B, it has six data items, so we will perform another bisection on it. So now we have two more partitions, and they all have three data items in it, and they can both fit into the cache. So now both partition A, B, and C are cache fit partitions, and our recursive bisection framework just stops. After we generate those cache fit partitions, we need a good scheduling methods to ensure sorting, and at the meantime, handle some practical issues like low pipeline utilization, low GPU throughput. In our work, we propose four different scheduling methods, and I will talk them one after one. The first one is cache feed scheduling methods. It's a straightforward method, since we want to isolate the competition of different cache feed partitions. So we want to run one cache feed partition at one time. For example, the original kernel, which while kernel is a CUDA function, takes the original tuple list as the input. So now after data balance partition, we say we have k cache feed partitions. So each, so all tasks in one cache feed partitions need to run at one time. So we will use K kernels to handle each cache feed partition so that it can make sure all tasks are finished before the next kernel is called. And there will be and these K kernels will be executed one after one. So in this way, we say cache feed scheduling provides strict barriers between different phases. However, this straightforward method may have some practical issue. For example, still here is a graph, and we have three cache feed partitions, and we still have four working threads. So for partition A, well, it's good. Each thread has an age to process. But for partition B, since there are only two ages, so only two threads are working while the other two are idle. And same for partition 3, two threads are left idle. So this means the performance of using cache feed scheduling may not always be good. This is because for some partitions, although all the data can fit into the cache, but there are not so much, there are not enough competitions. So which may cause a low pipeline utilization. So to solve this problem, we propose another method called cache feed queue. We're trying to invoke only one single kernel call while still ensure throttling. So what we do is we first set up a FIFO queue, and each entry in the queue will be a chunk of data that from the cache feed partition, and adjacent chunks are from the same cache feed partition. Each warp will fetch a chunk from the queue and process it. So I will use an animation to show how it works. Here is a queue, and we have two warps. So warp one will take chunk one and chunk two from the queue. And since chunk two are finished earlier than chunk one, so warp two will get chunk three. And then chunk four, chunk n, until all the chunks in partition one are finished. Then warp one will directly get chunk one from cache feed partition two, then chunk two, chunk three, until the queue is empty. So this means although we cannot ensure that all chunks from the cache feed partition one will be finished earlier than those chunks from cache feed partition two, but we can make sure that the start time of these chunks in cache feed partition one are earlier than these chunks in cache feed partition two. So we say these cache feed queue scheduling methods provide us a relaxed barriers between different cache feed partitions. So split and join is another method for solving the low GPU throughput issue. We will dynamically merge those cache feed partitions by performing an online profiling to decide which partitions should be merged, and we use a tree representation of the data balance partition to help the online profiling. So for example, here is the graph, and there's the corresponding tree representation of the partition. We will give each node two attributes, S time, which is the standalone running time for this node, and B time, which is the optimal running time on this node. The optimum running time for this node will be equal to the minimum of its standalone running time and the summation of its two child nodes' optimal running time. So for all leaf nodes, its standalone running time should be equal to its optimal running time since it has no child. So, and then for partition BC, for example, its standalone running time is 0.3. So let's do the calculation. BC's standalone running time is smaller than B's optimal running time, 0.2, plus C's optimal running time, 0.2, which the summation is 0.4. So BC's optimal running time will then be 0.3. And same for all ages. We say all ages standalone running time is 1.2. So it's larger than A's optimal running time, 0.5, plus BC's optimal running time, 0.3, which is 0.8. So A's optimal running time will then be 0.8. So this means after the online profiling, we have a cache feed partition A and a merged partition BC left. So we will have two kernel invocation that takes care of each partition to achieve the best performance. The last scheduling method is a combination of split join and the cache feed queue. Using split join, we already have multiple kernel calls which have already provided us strict barriers between different cache feed, between different merge partitions. But what happens inside one merge partition? Since there are no barriers, so there are no guarantee of the execution order. So we use the idea of cache feed queue. We will set up one queue for each merged partition so that we can provide relaxed barriers between cache feed partitions inside one merged partition. So let's take a look at a summary of all four scheduling methods we proposed. They all have different characteristics and may work well under different situations. So cache feed works well when cache feed partitions have high data reuse and it needs minimum overhead because it doesn't need profiling and doesn't need to change the code. SJ is good for cases when sparse structure is known so that you can fully utilize the pipeline. And both CFQ and SJQ are queue-based implementation, so they take the advantage of relaxed barriers and achieve a better performance. We evaluate the performance of our software throttling framework on two different GPUs. One is Titan X and the other is GTX 745. Titan X have a larger cache size. And we use three different benchmarks, one is SPMV and two graph processing workloads, Bellman Ford and PageRank. And also we tried our software throttling framework on a neural network optimization work. For SPMV, the baseline we use is custom. We use matrix from Florida sparse matrix correction. And we only focus on those large matrix that their working set cannot fit into the cache. So this figure shows the average speedup of our software throttling framework with different scheduling methods. Here the y-axis is a normalized speedup. We can say that all four scheduling methods have better performance compared to the baseline. And here the original plus R here represents the performance of the coalesced graph after our partition. Since we want to show that the speedup not only comes from the coalescing, but also comes from the software filtering. Among all the four methods, SJQ have the best performance because it takes advantage of profiling while also the both relax and strict barriers between different cache feed partitions. So now let's take a look at these four methods. Here all matrix are grouped based on different original cache hit rate, and the y-axis is still the speedup. So this bar represents the matrix set original cache hit rate is 40% to 100%. So this bar is for 30% to 40%. This bar is for 20% to 30%. And this green bar is for the cache rate from 0% to 10%. So we can see that those matrix that has a lower original cache hit rate can have a larger speed up using our software throttling framework. And now let's take a look at the working set size. So if we group our matrix based on the working set size, so here working set size are normalized to cache sized. So this bar is for the working set size one time and to two times to the cache size, and this two times to four times, four times to eight times, and eight times to infinity. So we can observe speed up in all groups of different working set size, and also the speed up is scaled to the working set size. So here is the performance of graph applications. We use Bellman Ford and PageRank. For Bellman Ford, all graph has speed up except roadkill, which is a very small graph, so we don't have much speed up for it. And for PageRank, now all graph has speed up, and we can see the speed up for PageRank is larger than Bellman Ford. This is because PageRank has more data access than Bellman Ford. So let's see the cache hit rate of these two graph applications. All graphs has an improvement of cache hit rate except roadkill due to its small size. We also show how throttling works on deep learning benchmark. We use deep compression, which provides us a pruned AlexNet with some of the weights removed in those fully connected layers. We can see that for a layer with larger vector size like layer 6, we can observe the speed up, But for layer 7 and layer 8, since the vector size is small, so we don't see much speed up. But overall, our software throttling framework can help the performance. So in conclusion, we proposed the first locality-aware software throttling framework on GPUs. Our framework can increase data reuse by improved temporal locality. We also explore the trade-off between cache performance and pipeline utilization. Thanks. I'm happy for questions.
So we do have time for questions.
I think the work is interesting, and you did a nice presentation. So for the CFQ scheduling, and there are multiple WAP executing different partitions to keep the CPU GPU busy. And is there a possibility that it actually can cause cache thrashing that you try to avoid in the first place?
You're talking about cache feed queue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually it's possible that data from different cache feed partitions are running concurrently, but as we show in the figure, this protected docking, in the figure, you can see that only a small part of chunks from different partitions are overlapped, which means we give it, so that's why we call it relaxed barriers, since we want to show there are still barriers there, but just a very small partitions are overlapped. This is like the trade-off between pipeline utilization and the throttling performance.